Be the scapegoat on that.
Literally. Just go.
Board of adjustment.
PowerPoint.
What is that?
Wow.
There we got another.
Oh, I know. I know. It's a small audience, but we got it.
I wasn't here, so I'll be making a motion.
I'm calling to order the Taney County Planning Commission meeting. Regular meeting, December 21st, 7 p.m. almost. Okay, Mr. Coxey, if you'll please establish the quorum.
Mark Blackwell, Jim Bronner, Randall Cummings, 100%, Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston.
Here.
Joey Staples.
Here.
Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do. Okay, and if you'll explain this evening's procedures for the meeting, please.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting, as no additional public comments are taken unless expressed or requested by the chairman or the commission. If you do not accept the decision of the commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the planning office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. And you may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from November 9th and November 16th. Chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Make the motion to approve the minutes of the 9th and the 16th of November.
Okay. Is there a second? Mr. Staples. You've heard the issue to approve the minutes. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. First vote is Briarwood on Lake Taney Como. And if the gentleman would please come forth with that. Mr. Hover, I believe.
John Hover.
Okay, and you may just kind of want to sit down because this is really a discussion for us, but be available if you would for questions again. Again, this is basically the question of a change of management and going to fractional ownership versus what was originally planned as condominium full ownership. Okay. And the problem is that with fractional ownership, that runs head-to-head with timeshare regulations and frequency of turnover of guests and all of those kinds of things as compared to condominiums, which we classify as residential or multifamily residential kind of things. Okay, discussion. Questions that you might have for Mr. Hover.
Madam Chairman, I got a question for Eddie.
Okay.
The other night, last Monday night, I understand you right that the attorney has said that if we had a project like this that we approved and we didn't spell out anything in regard to nightly rental, that they had a right to do nightly rental then.
The example I gave was basically, the statement is this land had a previous use as a resort that allowed for nightly rentals and different things like that. When they came back before us and asked for the right to tear down all their old buildings and build some additional units and presented it as whole ownership, we did not stipulate that they could not do nightly rentals or anything like that. And because that was allowed on this property before, and we didn't necessarily didn't terminate it, that was a viable use, and therefore that use would or permitted use, excuse me, and that use would continue in place unless something else was done with that. And I referenced you out to the Fall Creek property there that had been approved for a large multifamily project and then expired, came back before us, basically no changes in it, and denied, went to the Board of Adjustment, and the attorney at that time made the comment, it's been previously approved for this type of use, and to deny it now on compatibility would not be a viable excuse, because basically the same project and everything like that, the same kind of use that had been previously approved.
So that was because it had nightly rental there before, that it wouldn't change what we've been doing in the past. We've like those residents over in...
Now, the big change,
we took the position there, they didn't have the right, and they went ahead and did that, and they had to come in here, and we had to make a decision.
That is correct.
That would still stand. Okay.
Yeah, because they were single-family residential. Yeah. Now, the change that does exist here is this. When they were a resort, there was an office on site, and there was somebody there to manage that. If that is a concern for you with this kind of ownership and everything like that, put the stipulation on that there needs to be some on-site management or something to handle that. If you're going to approve it, you can put some stipulations. Now, he may choose to fight those or not fight those, but that's why we have a Board of Adjustment.
Because it's concerning, not about this project in particular, but for any project that we're about, in the change of purpose of that particular property, if that's true, we're going to have to start thinking of everything that we didn't say to be sure and include. We didn't say...
Right.
He couldn't put a nuclear reactor there, but that doesn't mean we meant that he could. I understand
that wasn't already there,
but right. I'm just saying that...
That was a grandfather permitted use. And very easily we could say... You know, now you are forfeiting. As we consider this project, the old project will be considered forfeited, and all the rights and privileges that went with that project. I mean, we can handle things like that if we would choose to do so. I'm just saying, in this area, it was resorts, nightly rental was that kind of deal. Now, if he wanted to put a reactor there, he's got another issue because now we do have compatibility because that wasn't a permitted use before.
Okay. I find that diagram very confusing, so I want you to explain to me, because the only property under consideration as fractional ownership is that multi-piece of property there. There is nothing else on that property that is part of the old resort. Is that true?
These buildings, this one, or maybe this one, I can't remember. This one might not even be there anymore. This building here, and there's a building down here that they did come back to you at a later time
right.
and include into this project. What they are asking for is fractional ownership for their project.
For
which
the entire...
condos.
It's the other two buildings they have the right to build and anything that's in here. Because we allowed these buildings to become part of their condominium project, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, well, I think I remember that. Okay.
So...
Okay.
Now, you said right to build, though. I know, but I don't, and I may be getting my projects mixed up here, but one project on this, on Lakeshore Drive came before us and asked to build another condo building instead of the single family homes included in that project under a condominium style of ownership. And we said no. So before you say right to build.
I'm telling you, Mr. Hover has two more buildings that he has already approved for.
Yes, condominium style ownership, unless I'm thinking of the wrong one. Not two more buildings that has multiple units in it.
He has.
Is that,
his,
am I thinking
his
of a different project?
Has the right to build two more buildings just like this one.
Okay. And he's asking.
I'm thinking of the wrong project.
He's asking for joint ownership in those other two.
He is
also
asking for fractional ownership for the project.
Yeah.
Which would include all the buildings.
Okay, so I've got my projects mixed up.
But no,
okay,
I mean, sorry. He was originally permitted for three buildings.
Okay.
plus the other ones that we had in the end that were, that he wasn't going to build. At one time, they were going to split these homes into two units and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They did come back at one time and ask for another building down here in the floodplain area.
Okay, that's...
We denied it. It went to Board of Adjustment. They upheld that decision. So he would have added a fourth building, but he does have two more buildings to go in here. They're just like the
So the density before might have been something like 18 units on the resort, and we upped it to 24.
That is correct. Something to that.
I still want to go back to the map.
Yes, ma'am.
Because there are three houses up there on the upper left.
Here.
Okay, uh-huh. And then there's this one where the yellow line goes through, and then there are other buildings.
Yes, ma'am.
Are those used as...
Yeah, those are gone.
These have all
those
been
are not
down.
There
those
anymore.
Okay. This is, yeah, this is, these pictures are several years old.
Okay.
So this
okay,
has all been torn down.
So everything is not there?
No, ma'am. Everything that's out there right now is permitted and has been allowed. So, but this is all gone. Of course, he's built his pool and stuff over in here.
Okay.
And everything. I don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
just want to make sure that we're not talking about dual purposes of the buildings
oh,
on
no.
the property. Okay.
No, no.
Okay.
What was I going to tell you? As he finishes a building, he turns in the plat for that building. So that's why this kind of looks like it's all cut out. The way that these new buildings are going to go in, he'll actually turn in that plat.
Okay.
And then they'll begin to assign parcel numbers on it.
Okay. Then let me ask you another question. If we were to say that this could be classified as a resort, what are the implications as far as our zoning code is concerned?
Our code doesn't make any differentiation
okay.
between a resort or...
Or timeshares.
Timeshares or anything like that. I mean, it's just an area that's not defined.
And parking requirements and all that kind of thing wouldn't make any difference or...
No, ma'am.
Infrastructure on the property or anything like that.
No, ma'am. I mean, now when we would go in here and say you've got a multi-story building, it's going to each unit has to have... This is what's considered high density. So each unit has to have so many spaces of parking, you know, that kind of thing like that.
Okay.
And then they figure, the sewer district figures usage on the amount of bedrooms and that kind of thing.
Right. And the distinction here again is the multiple ownership.
That's the only thing you're looking at, yes, ma'am. I mean, he's already involved. Now, if you feel like, again, I'm going to state this to you, if you feel like, because that nightly rentals is something that's going on that shouldn't be going on, and we want to pursue that under our code, much as you would a single-family home or something like that, we can do that if you feel that's necessary. I just wanted to bring to your attention the statement that I'd had from Mr. Paulson that that was a permitted use. I did go back and view all the tapes and everything. Mr. Hover didn't mention nightly rentals. We didn't talk about nightly rentals or anything like that. I think our big concern with Mr. Hover at one time is we said four. We were very specific. We said four stories. They put four stories in the loft. We got into that. After that, we started getting a lot more particular about nightly rentals. But at that particular time, nightly rentals wasn't an issue. We didn't discuss it.
Well, there's two things that really bother me about this project. One of them is 13 owners in one unit. I can't imagine, and I guess it's not for us to decide, but I can't imagine 13 owners getting along in one unit a week at a time, because one's going to leave it dirty, another's going to expect this
well,
and that.
But
and the other thing is, right across the lake there, Branson has just passed a resolution denying exactly what they're asking for here.
Well, Branson's resolution that was passed was only in their R1 district, their single family.
Well, it's just right across the
road. Yeah, but it's only in their single family residential district.
We'd be going directly in.
Well, it would depend on if you see this as single family residential or not. And with the discussions that we've had here recently, like just a few minutes ago, I don't think you would view that as single family residential. Each unit, yes, it can be whole ownership, but as a whole, that would be a multifamily structure there.
Ray, we need to get you a timeshare. That's all there is to it.
How's that?
Well, you'd understand the system.
You can probably pick one up and you'll just pay the man.
Yeah, it's your time share for Christmas.
That's where they claim them for you. Yeah.
But I mean, if that's a concern, again, that's an area where you say we really need some kind of on-site maintenance. Because it's quite very well possible, Mr. Edwards, that out of these 13 owners, none of them may come down and use their weeks. Mm-hmm. They may use one of their 4 weeks and then rent it out the rest of the time. You know,
do we want to get into that?
Me and you.
Well, but I think Ray's raising a very valid point, and the valid point is the enforceability of the nightly rental, because how can we control what those 13 different owners will do with their week times a year?
Yeah. Right,
and we can't.
And I'd like to help this gentleman out because I understand he's a problem because of finance and everything. But once we do that, there's a lot more over there that's going to be right in here because sure. There's all kinds of those condos in trouble. And I was just at the recorder's office a while ago picking up the recorder. And they're showing me a stack of recordings over there where all these timeshare owners have turned them back.
Yes. Well, just...
I mean, they've got a ton of them.
Look in the Taney County Times or the Branson Daily News once a week or about once a month, and you'll find 4 to 5 pages where people have defaulted, basically, in timeshares. Yeah, there's some issues. That's definitely the case. And I don't know if Mr. Hover lives on site or what his involvement would be and everything. Definitely if there's a... If there's a developer that's going to build it and then sell it all off and dump it and leave, then it's stuck. And it's prudent on your behalf to set some stipulations and say, we're going to need some kind of management. We're going to need to make sure that that it's reported to the assessors so that they know that these are being taxed as commercial units. And then in the event that somebody decides to live in there is 100% whole time, they go to the accessory. It's their responsibility to go to the accessory and get that taken off. But it's the management company's responsibility the first time they rent it out for less than 30 days to make sure that they've gone back to the assessor and got it, taxed properly again. So I think it's pretty. I think that's the kind of thing that we do now. But when this was happening, we hardly ever discussed nightly rentals.
When we looked at that, and we were looking at it as whole ownership condominiums, that looks a little different from a parking standpoint.
Sure.
If you've got somebody who's living there year-round, they own it, they live there all the time, they might have a boat. Sure. They also have a place to put it because it's there 12 months out of the year, but you got somebody that comes in from Wichita, Kansas for a week that they bought from somebody. Well, they're bringing maybe a lot more stuff on vacation, maybe a boat, because they're on vacation.
And maybe extended family.
Right. And so, it looks different than it does, even though it's the same amount of units, it looks different from a infrastructure standpoint than it does. So that's one of the things when we do ask that question now is that's why it differentiates, at least in my mind, one of the main reasons between whole ownership and fractional ownership is that reason, because they are different animals.
Sure.
And so does the parking, but the question I'm getting to is, does our parking standards take, I don't see how it could, but does that take that into account? Is there enough parking for boats and other things that you may not have in a whole ownership type community?
Well, in our standards now, and I'm going to address this from our code book that exists, and I'm going to have to defer to you in just a minute, Frank, because we have some new standards that would take over now. Our code book did not differentiate whether it was multifamily ownership, fractional ownership, or anything like that. What it does differentiate in is what's considered a high density. And if you'll remember, I'll take you down to Emerald Point. We had condominiums there with what they called a lockout.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So at the time with the code book, when I got here, it had 1.5 spaces. It was based on bedrooms.
Right.
Made a change and said, based on dwellings, you got to have so many. So if you've got a 2-bedroom with a lockout, 2 spaces. And then if you added some more bedrooms, that they went up. In this kind of situation there, they've been calculated at what we would call the high density. It does not make any provisions for boats, trailers, anything like that. It does not. No place in any of our code does it say we need parking areas for extra vehicles or anything like that. It doesn't make any kind of allotment for visitors. It just says in this kind of a unit, you got to have two per unit, up to three bedrooms. After three bedrooms, they add another half space. So if you had a four bedroom, they would have two and a half spaces. But if they don't want to put any parking for visitors, if they don't want to put any parking for maybe a family that has three people living in it and they all drive, then they're not held to that. We basically have a minimum, and it's two per.
And some of our standards and rules have changed since this was approved the first time to now. And so if this were to be approved, they would have to meet with any new structures, all height standards. And all other standards that have been changed since then.
Mr. Preston.
Not the stuff that's already been built.
Right. Is there, was there anything in, I can't remember anything.
In the standards themselves, not really. Possibly handicapped spaces, one per 20.
Right, and I think we said one before, just one.
Right. There's a couple things I'd like to bring up. I agree with Ms. Kleinfelder, the drawing doesn't do me any good at all. I can't tell what's going on there.
Dan, do you have that drawing without without the buildings in there? Just the
I can go to details.
Just a flat map with no buildings behind it.
One thing that I'm fearful of is that one of the citizens that was here last week discussed he's in the next door condo, which has whole ownership, and then other he mentioned it possibly going to fractional or condominium style part time ownership on some kind of basis, whether it's weekly or monthly, but in the decision of record, and it also sounds like, based on your conversations with the county council, the only thing we're really looking at tonight is fractional ownership versus whole ownership. All the other things we can talk about, but really, that's that's the thing that we're voting on.
That's great. So if you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The other thing I'd like to mention, since this project isn't built out, if he doesn't have allotted areas for extra parking and or boating, and he wants it to be a successful venture, he knows that most of his customers will have boats, and they will raise a ruckus quick, and it will be an inconvenience to the other users of the area if there's a big mess in the parking lot because nobody can. So what I would like to know from you, Eddie, maybe is what types of things can we put in the decisions of record? And then something that's really hit the county hard in the last 2+ years since I've been here is, and maybe this was or was not looked at when we first looked at this project, but since it's one-third built out of three buildings, what type of considerations were talked about and looked at when it comes to storm drain plans, and were they looked at all? And if they weren't, can we... Do you have an answer for your stormwater control plan?
I would say at that particular time, there was probably very little consideration given to that. And what happens most of the time is the developers will go back to the impervious cover table, which states depending on the slope that you have and the type of soil that you have, you can substitute impervious cover for any kind of stormwater management or retention detention. Because he has a large area in the floodplain there, and most of this is over, he probably does not violate the impervious cover limitations. So I would say probably nothing we can do there, and all the water that comes there does go right into Lake Tacoma. I mean, it's not running down anywhere else. It's going to go right down into the lake. As you consider this, and I don't know if that's, I mean, that's all I can tell you about.
Right, well, that's sort of where I'm, but I would want there to be some natural greenscape or filtration system, biofiltration, so that the runoff from the parking lots wouldn't follow a concrete channel, which went directly into the lake, and the day after it rains, or during a rain, you see a big plume of petroleum-based products on the water. So there's things you can do in design to help mitigate these types of things.
And DNR normally, when I've been out with DNR, they normally like to have about 3 feet of some kind of natural vegetation before anything would enter into like the lake or anything like that. And I'm pretty sure, and I'll go check, but I'm pretty sure that that you have more than that, if I'm not mistaken.
Both the north and south end are natural creeks.
So, and then also along the lake there, there's some green space too in there at the back. I mean, there's more than 3 feet, I'm sure.
Oh, probably 7 feet.
What I'm going to say is definitely if you're talking multiple owners in there, it brings a lot of concerns to your mind. Not only we see increased traffic, we see increased congestion in the project itself, which can be a safety issue in your eyes. That being the case, and I don't put words in your mouth or anything like that, but that being the case, you can say, I've got some safety issues here, and I've got some concerns, and I think the only way I can alleviate these concerns is I need to see some extra parking for boat trailers or something like that, whether it just be gravel parking lot or whether he leaves it grass or whatever the case might be that he designated an area there. I need to see that these areas where the cars are going to be parking are not going to so congest that area that we can't get emergency vehicles in there, ambulances, fire trucks, you know, whatever the case might be. Instead of them setting up on a Lakeshore Drive there and having to fight a fire from there. That's legitimate concern because it's quite very well possible that, as a parent that I say I've rented out this condominium, it's got plenty of room, you come and bring your family. So now instead of me coming in one car, I've come in two cars. I'll bring the boat, you bring the jet skis. You know, there are some possible issues there, and we're going to be coming and going a lot. And we're not going to be pulling those trailers everywhere with us. They need to be stored somewhere.
Do you have a dock?
Yes.
There is a dock. And how many boats does that dock accommodate on Taney Como?
I have one dock set.
Okay.
The permit is for 13. I also have a permit for 20 more.
Okay.
Which is great for the boat.
Not so good for the jet skis.
Not so good for the trailer.
For the trailer, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, maybe they've made arrangements to put those other places. But you're going to see, I personally think you'll see more traffic in and out of there. And that needs to be concerned, and we need to be concerned that it flows smoothly.
But we're almost too late for him to give us a revised plat.
He may have some room that where he wanted to put that building.
Much of that, to me, Eddie, is a marketing thing to make his project successful, and it's his responsibility
to do it. I
don't know that we can legislate every possible situation in relationship to this.
Well, what about one of these units has been sold, right? What about that owner? Does this change? He bought that as a single ownership.
Mr. Hover said he would bring a letter in from that individual today stating that he had no objections to the request.
They were going to be here. They couldn't make it, but you want to make a contingency that's their approval. I'd be no problem with that.
Okay.
Also, I was going to go one more step on that. If you feel like there's any safety issues that could arise on a holiday weekend or something like that, and you need to have those issues taken care of, then you need to stipulate that. And if that's too big a concern, you don't think it can be fixed, then you deny the project and let it go to the Board of Adjustment with that reasoning that there's safety issues. If you feel like it needs an on-site property management for somebody to watch and make sure people are parking in the right places, that they've got their keys, that they know what they're doing, that there's somebody there to or somebody available to in case of emergencies or things like that, that's something you can stipulate if you choose to do so on this decision of record.
Well,
he can contest anything you do, but
biggest issue I've got is I don't think this is the only one that we're going to be faced.
I would agree.
I think there's a lot of other. When the word gets out, the banks have a lot of these already. When the word gets out and they can't sell them, if this is successful, then they're going to be wanting the same approval.
I've already been approached by the bank from
the other
project next door.
And that's if it's just one.
No, not for fractional ownership, but for. To make sure, you know, this is a use that was permitted. Y'all didn't deny it, you know, and so we're going to nightly rental.
Well, the other factor is that fractional ownership is a very common kind of thing in Florida and other your basic resort kind of areas.
Holiday
it's
Hills.
Just fairly new coming to our area.
I mean, Holiday Hills, I mean, there it's everywhere. It's just You just haven't seen it down on this particular street.
My question, Eddie, and I don't know that you can answer this, but in terms of assessed real estate valuation for the property, how much does it change? How much would James Strahan be turning over, knowing full well that he's going from full ownership to fractional
ownership? Whole ownership, and this would be considered residential if it was just one owner and he wasn't bringing down anything. And I believe that goes at 19%. If it goes commercial for the night to rental, it goes up into 32.
Okay, but we're not talking nightly rental. We're talking fractional ownership.
Right. Fractional ownership, I don't think will...
would change significantly.
Unless Mr. Strahan then sees that as...
Okay, then let me ask Mr. Hoover another question. Should you decide to have someone come in and say, I don't want to purchase the fractional thing, I want to purchase whole ownership in one of these units, you still will have the ability to sell it that way.
Certainly.
Yeah. Okay.
But they would also have the ability, if we approve it, to go ahead and sell the other 12 portions.
So sub-sell?
I mean, if we say they can.
I would think they would
have to. Technically speaking, they could. Why wouldn't they? Why couldn't they? If they own it, if they own that one unit, then why couldn't they rent out
why can't I sell you half of it? It's allowed
their other 51 weeks themselves.
If we're going to give it to one, I don't see how we can not give it to somebody else.
The one owner that's in there now, right, there's one owner. If we approve this, we're also approving his unit.
Eddie, who did you say you approved for nightly rental a minute ago? You talked to the bank.
I said I didn't approve it. I said they called me immediately when the bank took the one next door, Redbud Shores, and said, are we approved for nightly rentals? I said, again, I pulled their tapes and everything like that. I said, there's no mention of nightly rentals in here. Of course, this was their attorney, and he immediately made the argument that wasn't approved use before, and since you didn't deny it and change the use of the land, then it's still a permitted use. Well, and that's something that can be argued in court. It's not my argument to make and everything. So, but with the exception, because they have an owner in there already that bought that as whole ownership, with the understanding that's going to be whole ownership, they've got another legal consideration even with nightly rental.
What's our definition of nightly rental? Anything under 30 days?
30 days, yes, sir. Less than 30 days is what it says. Let me see. I can read it for you if you like.
I think we're going to move on, Eddie, on this because I think we're ready. You know, we can talk this hypothetically.
Been there tonight.
Yeah. you know, is anybody willing to make a motion? Because the real question is whether or not we are going to allow this gentleman to basically sell a unit 13 times a year. Okay, that's
the
question.
Can I read this for you real quick? Because it may.
Okay.
It says, nightly rental is a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days.
Okay.
I'll say this in a unique way.
Okay.
Based on the fact that there's no compelling evidence from our county council and or things that I've heard tonight, I'll make a motion to approve this project in its new format as fractional ownership versus condo ownership. And I don't know if there's anyone that would like to add any addendums to that as far as stipulations go about the management style or process.
Because that's my number one concern, so I don't know how to voice that. But obviously as a resort, you have that, and this whole ownership, you have that. But with this, it feels like it would be a resort without someone running it. Mm-hmm. That's a bad way to say it, so I don't know how to word that.
I guess they asked you that last week, and that's the case. I don't. Okay. If there wasn't a plan for on-site manager,
so there will be an on-site manager.
That's the way I can't say anybody else would do that, but we already have a manager coming in place.
But they're not on site, particularly.
Not on site, no, but if this...
Is there an office? Is there a...
Yeah, they're on site.
Okay.
They're not there yet because they're going to bring business.
Yeah. Okay. Need a second and then discuss, don't we?
Okay, there is a motion with... That simply is allowing then the fractional ownership.
Correct.
Okay.
At this time.
Is there a second to the motion? Or are there any additions or amendments that you would make to the original motion? And then, is there a second? Okay.
Would I add an amendment now to his motion?
Well, let's get a second to the motion, and then we'll do an amendment to it. Okay. Okay. So it's been moved and seconded. Now let's consider whether or not you want to make an amendment, anything.
If I could get Mr. Hover to clarify something.
Okay.
You said that management company would for you. I guess my question is if the people buy this unit and they want to put it into your nightly rental, is it a stipulation that they go through the management company to do that?
I want to ask them to do that, because right now we're the Homeowners Association.
Right.
But eventually leave it up to the Homeowners Association to pick their own, but to make them have to have one.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
I don't want to marry the one guy and we're stuck with this guy.
But the reason I'm asking is because we see people put them on the internet, and they make all the arrangements on the internet, and they say the key's under the mat. And everything. So if you're going to make a stipulation, and maybe that's something you'd like to see him do, if you're going to make a stipulation, if you're going to put this in nightly rental, it has to go through a management company. Set that up in your homeowners association rules, or if you want to put that in your decision of record, that they need to go through.
Except, Eddie, again, I have difficulty mixing nightly rental in here, which is not what we're really dealing with here. We're dealing with fractional ownership.
That is period. That is correct.
Okay. So now whether or not you need an on-site manager or somebody, you know, an ongoing management system for the fractional ownership. I mean, in an ideal world, you know, his plan works just as he has said it. But he still is going to have somebody to rotate those 13 owners through 23 different units during the course of a year.
Well, something's going to have to happen, yes, ma'am, yeah. Because if Mr. Preston has this week and I've got next week, when he's supposed to be out on Saturday...
How do I get the key from Mr. Preston?
Something needs to be there.
And he didn't do the dishes.
And perhaps that's how you go about it. With this fractional ownership, we need somebody in place that's going to...
So what we're saying, is there anybody on the commission that would make a statement in the decision of record or an amendment to the motion dealing with some kind of management system? Okay, then not. The motion stands as it has been made and seconded. Okay. Further discussion?
If no one else will amend it, I would like to amend it with the stipulation and or the decision of record stating something to this effect, and I'd like this language to be straightened out if I don't get it out right. I feel that because of the nature of the project that we're looking at, it's imperative that a property management company be involved with running this operation. I want to say 100% of the time. I'm not saying on site, but they'll be fully responsible for deep cleaning up the lots, the mowing, just general things you would find, the same types of things you would find in a condo style of ownership, not much different than that. So,
or an apartment house.
Or an apartment house. Full-time property management, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Got that, Benita? And Mr. Second, will you accept that as an amendment to the motion?
I will.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, if I could add something here, I, for various reasons, done a lot of research on timeshares versus condominiums. Timeshares are condominiums. Fractional owner is condominium.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the law under the state is for condominium. There are stipulations in state statutes concerning timeshare, and it's basically under fair marketing. I do not recall anything in the state statutes that directly relate to fractional ownership.
Isn't that the same thing? It's a nicer way of saying timeshare.
It is, but the state statute specifically has an area that it refers to as timeshare. Is this a timeshare, or is this going to be a timeshare? And if it is a timeshare, should it not be referred to as a timeshare and approved as a timeshare? So it also falls under those stipulations. Did I confuse it?
Yeah.
Does that not make sense?
Yeah.
If you're saying fractional ownership, I'm not sure that it falls under the stipulation of state statutes under fair marketing practices when it's called fractional ownership. Fractional ownership is a timeshare, but state statutes, I don't recall referring to it as that.
I don't understand
does
what
timeshare
has to
refer
with
to a specific structure or just to a I know when these kind of things first started. Well, it's refers to an operation, and we're actually referring to a specific unit. These will be owners in a specific unit, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm, right.
So, I mean, if I buy Unit 12, that's all I've got the right to. So if Unit 12 is destroyed for some reason, I don't move over to Unit 11.
Timeshares operate in both.
That's what I'm saying. Originally, when it started, that's what you bought, but now timeshare refers to I own some time at this place, and it's wherever they put me.
It refers to both, either as a particular unit or as any unit in there. They're both timeshares.
A rose by any other name
still
would
has
be a timeshare. Okay, I think we have a motion, and I think it addresses the issues that we're dealing with now and the kind of creative fractional ownership plan that is being suggested here. And so I'm going to call the question.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, Joy. Okay.
If he builds the other two buildings, are we approving this for those two buildings also?
Good question.
You're approving for the project.
Mm-hmm. For the whole thing.
For the project. That's what he's asking for. That includes the building that he's got up,
okay,
the houses, that project.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor of the proposal as motioned, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Chairman breaks the tie by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
Sure we are.
I'll take a copy of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
At the end, I'm just
confused. Yeah, I know. No,
thanks, sir.
Okay, sure.
We'll have some paperwork for you.
Okay.
Well, let's move on then, if we may, to the Gene Rogers Project. This is much easier. Okay. Again, this is a special use situation where Mr. Rogers wants to sell feed out of a trailer located back, clustered around the buildings on the property in a fairly isolated rural area. Okay. Questions?
We're applying for a conditional use permit that only goes with this owner and not with the
special
property.
Special use, yes, sir. That is correct.
Doesn't have to fall in any other guidelines for federal or state that we need to put in the decision of record?
Not that I'm aware of at this time, and in the event that he would expand this operation into for more permanent type of building or anything like that, he will come back.
Is there any type of particular feed you'd like him to carry, Ray, before we... Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, make a motion to approve. Mr. Staples, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Edwards seconds. Further discussion, question, all those in favor of approving this as a special use project, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That took care of that. Not bad at all.
Still your trailer's
up. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Rogers, we'll have some more paperwork for you also. We'll be in touch with you.
Hey, can I have my stuff back?
I might want to add one thing.
Don't do it. Don't. Is it fractional feed? What? Oh, thank you.
What
did
he say?
Same to you.
He, by the way, Mr. Preston, he is A1 or 1A, whichever way you'd like to go. Right.
Okay.
Oh, he's A2.
How you figure?
Yeah.
Oh, now he's
A2. Now he's A2.
Yes, he did.
A1
yes,
was
did.
The old AR.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on then to Air Park South. So, Mr. Coxey.
We have with us tonight Ms. Warner, Ken Warner, who is basically the spokesperson for the Perfect Landing Air Park in Cedar Creek, Missouri. We've spent a lot of time with Ms. Warner recently going over, showing her some of the documentation that we have as far as drawings and things like that, and giving her some instruction in order to try to bring this project into compliance. And I don't know exactly where she stands on all that. She has had the surveyor back out. I'm going out there in the morning. He has pinned their lots and everything like that. And this new road that's going in for the minor sub we approved is basically about two-thirds done. And she needs me just to, probably Randy and I, just to verify that where she's putting the rest of this road is in good shape and it falls within the guidelines. And then she'll have that in probably within the next week or so. She has asked for a reduction in the bond money that she has up for the road that she's putting in, and I do have that on my desk, and we'll finish processing that tomorrow to give her a partial reduction in that. She has also mentioned to me there is a land grading bond in place out there right now, I think in the neighborhood of $30,000 or $40,000, and I wanted to see about getting some of that reduced also so that she could go back and use that money to put in another piece of road. I personally, you know, with a stop work order in place there, I don't know if that's something that you want to release right now or not release. I don't know. I with a stop work order in place, I wouldn't take the liberty upon myself to release the land grading bond that's on the site. It is for the whole site that's out there right now.
Okay. But let me ask you a question. Why are we asking this to go through?
This project expired.
The whole process again.
It expired. And also, there was a lot of noncompliance issues. And when I came back before you and asked you what you wanted to do with that, you said, Ms. Warner needs to come back before us.
Okay.
And so we've been in the process of trying to get that back into place and everything. But that was at your request.
And
because
first,
I could not renew the permit.
Yeah, we first heard this 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Permit number is 0763, so we heard it, I want to say July or August of 07.
Okay.
November.
Okay. Eddie, you make reference to the stop work order. At what point in time can we remove that? It appears she's diligently working forward to resolve some of the issues. The stop work order, to my understanding, was on the whole project.
That is correct.
And now we have approved a minor subdivision within that project.
Yes, sir. We also issued a letter when we allowed the minor sub. That's why it came before you. When a stop work order is put in place, the purpose of that stop work order is to get the developer to quit working on anything other than compliance. And the process is that they come to us with a plan to bring the project into compliance that we would present to you. You would look at that and see if it is a workable plan and how to go. And at that particular time, you may choose to say, we need to go in this order here. We will lift the stop work order. As you move toward compliance, you step out of compliance again, you know, then it comes back on. Or you bring the whole thing into compliance and say, I'm back into compliance now, and then we have the right to lift that. So what we did with the minor sub was we viewed that as a partial plan to bring the project back into compliance. And so we wrote a letter indicating that there was a stop work order in place and that as a board you had agreed to allow the construction necessary to allow the completion of the minor sub, which would help to bring the project into compliance. So that was one step. But it was permitted under the stop work order. If you like what you hear tonight, or you know if you want to move forward immediately, and you say lift the stop work order, then we can do that. Right now there are a few issues still, and we've gone over those with Ms. Warner as far as substandard lots, that and no sewer systems and no that have transferred ownership, things like that, and that is some areas that Ms. Warner is addressing, and she can fill you in on that a little bit more. But there's still some non-compliant issues, and we're in a situation, I don't think it would happen, but we're in a situation where if an owner came in to us today and said, I own this lot here, and showed me proof of ownership through their copy of their warranty deed or anything like that, or tax statement, and said, I want to build, Dan would research that and look at it and say, I cannot let you build because you can't meet the sewer requirements. There's not a road out there for various and sundry reasons, that we can't let you build, which then puts this project in violation of our code book again, because code book states that anytime somebody buys a lot and pulls a building or tries to pull a building permit, then that has to have working infrastructure within 90 days.
So tonight we're talking about things that are outside of the scope of the minor subdivision, which is basically re-looking at the whole project again.
Yes, sir.
And is it our purpose tonight to talk about the stop work order to see if we can move forward?
As you know, there's been several attorneys involved in this and everything, and the ultimate goal is to get the project in compliance moving forward so that she can sell her properties off and that people can begin to go out there and to build and to use the project based on the rules and regulations that we do have in place. Tonight, as phase two, phase one being their request to us, allow us to do this minor sub, it will help us to raise some capital so we can do these things. And in so doing, then we'll come back in and represent our project because there's been several changes and everything, and you'd wanted to hear that. Was what you told me, I believe, last year, about this time last year, something like that, if I'm not mistaken, that we need to hear the project again, and so that you can hear the changes and where she's at and what's progressing and everything like that. So if you're comfortable that strides are being made and that there's enough information in place as far as how we're going to develop this project going out in the future, and you would deem it viable to remove the stop work order, your decision. But we do have to have some information as to how and when this stuff is going to be coming into compliance. Maybe we can't get it all into compliance right now. And you would choose to let her do sections of it and lift the stop work orders in those areas or something like that. That's your decision on that. But your indication to the staff was that we need to know how this is going to become a viable project and how we're going to overcome some of the issues that we're having so that we can know basically that if lots are sold, they're usable and that they meet the code that we have.
Ms. Warner, why don't you come forward and let's get to know you and get to know the project and almost start at ground zero.
Okay. Be glad to answer any questions.
Well,
let me start with our project was approved in November 2007. The only changes that I've submitted are an increase of 10 lots, and we straightened one road that was a private road that we currently live on that we use for a landing strip for our airplane. Those were the only two changes. Now, I requested, or actually I took to the office a request for extension on our permit 10 weeks prior to it expiring. I was told it was too early, so it was not accepted. I believe it was 3 or 4 weeks later. I mailed it back in, and I never heard back. I assumed we were renewed.
And what was the date on that? Was that 2008, or was that this year?
August 2008 is when I physically took it in.
Okay.
I handed it in for a renewal, for an extension.
Okay.
And I talked to Frank prior to that because we were not as far along as we had hoped because of the runway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, but technically the project has expired now.
Now, we did receive some copies of the letter that she mentioned. We did not have those in our file or anything like that, so I don't know.
No, you refused to take it.
Okay, that sounds. I don't remember having those or anything. But so.
Okay. Okay.
So it expired. I did not find out until March of the following year is when I got a letter saying that it expired in November.
Okay.
At that point, I submitted a third request to have it extended and was just, I guess, denied or given back.
Okay.
And then we went through a series of letters to try to get to this point. Basically, all we wanted to do was get it renewed. We do have one other section that we want to add to it, another 15 acres that would expand the boundary. That I wanted to submit through a Division 3, but the project as it stands that we have been working on, I just wanted an extension, okay, just to continue with
this. Let's talk about the stop work order and the history of that and your understanding of why that was in place.
It was in place due to a misunderstanding, and again, I brought that to Eddie actually with an apology. As we were charged for selling property without a minor sub, I guess is what it was.
Without a plat.
Without a plat. My confusion in that was my code book that I received, that section was omitted through a printing error. So I did not see that, and Eddie and I just started clashing about, you know, he would say one thing, I'd say show me, he'd say read your code book, wasn't in my code book. So it was basically when I was filed on, and then I started comparing the new to the old, and I seen the new where it was very clear, without the final plat, you don't sell anything. I'm like, well, why isn't that in this one? And in looking, there was, you know, a whole paragraph missing. So I did apologize, because had I seen that, I would have done a minor sub. I would have done something different. The lot sizes changed while we were in permit. They were at 1 acre minimums. Those were absolute policies. They changed to 2 acres during our process, so that explains why there are 1 acres.
Okay.
Anybody who has bought property in here, mainly they're my partners, family, friends, they all signed a contract saying there is no water, there is no sewer, there may never be water and sewer. This is our goal, this is what you're buying into.
But that gets into the 2 acre lots.
It's not a lot, it is a piece of
land. Do you have a new plat or project proposal to present to us tonight?
I believe we got the drawing. Just a second, so Danny, go back just real quick. Let me show you. We got to sit with Ms. Warner for a couple of hours and everything, so she could see what we were seeing also. And just so you'll know, some of the legal descriptions weren't quite coming up right. This, you know, it's real hard to see. There's kind of a road here. Now, this is not a platted road, so she won't have to vacate. Pardon? Yeah, she won't have to vacate this or anything. That's just something that's happened there. But
now,
the way
now that road there, we did not plat that.
No, it's not. That's the same. You're not going to have to do anything with it. It shows there, but it's not really. That's not something that that Linda and the assessor's office just put in there, so because of some of the legal description. But in this situation here, this lot is basically landlocked.
It
won't be when they're done. But right now, the way everything sits, there was just some issues, and it created some issues back in here, and they, you know, it included just some platting issues. Like the road comes down through here, and it's supposed to go on across there, but on these lots, for some reason, the surveyor went ahead and included the road in the lots. He didn't do it everywhere. It just, you know, so there's just little things like that kind of all over, and she's got roads and everything platted in, but this is how the assessor has it today, okay? So I want you to see that before we move on there. This is the original, and it had 142 residential lots and 24 commercial lots. Now she's wanting to add a few more commercial, I believe.
What I did was just modified them, changed some to meet the 2 acre minimums for compliance, and it changed it. It added 10 lots.
Yeah, so now it'll be this new plat is 153 residential lots and 23 commercial lots and everything. So
but the boundaries have not changed.
Right, the outside boundaries are basically the same. So
this is what I'm requesting to just get back online, to have it renewed, and then have the section, another 15 acres, added to the original boundary. Have that 15 acres.
And is that 15 acres included in this map here?
No.
Is that over here, Ms. Warner? Was that
right there in that area?
Okay.
So you're asking the hearing to be held on this document?
Well, if my request is to renew my original plat so that we can move forward with the Division 3 for the extra 15 acres, if I can't get this renewed and the whole project has to go through the whole process again, then I will just have to add that to it. But I hate another 30, 45-day delay when I have 10 buyers lined up ready to build. We've got 30-some roads or lots that are in compliance with the new roads.
But we still have to have a plat, though.
Yeah,
and we're
I
want to make sure
that
everybody knows.
I have all that with you.
Oh, yeah.
That's
not a plat. That's our
concept. That's the
concept
plan. They have all the plans.
She knows what the plat is. Yeah. We've done that. I just wanted to reiterate while we're here that you can't sell any more lots until we have another plat. And she's talking about phasing, if I'm not right, this area here and this, was it this area here?
Yeah, all 2 acre tracks.
All of this and everything. And of course, this will be served by the road that you've already put in, if I'm not mistaken, and everything. So there is roads there and everything. But she would propose bringing in a plat to record this and this and...
And that brings the majority of what we have sold into compliance. I asked Eddie to release a partial bond. I can put in 2 more roads to bring in some more. Oh, okay. So it was my error. It was a clerical printer thing. I apologized.
Does this include the minor sub that we just dealt with?
Yes. The minor sub is right here. It'd be this lot, this lot, this lot, this lot, and this one. This one.
Okay. So since that has already been approved, am I correct, Eddie?
That has already been recorded.
So that should not be a part of this resubmission. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
It's incorporated into it.
So we would want to exclude that.
When he draws his plat, he will show that.
It's all part of it. It is all inclusive.
Well,
but she doesn't have to.
Yes, it
plat.
Is. But
it's right.
Yeah. Okay. But we need to take that out of the consideration as we move forth with the rehearing of this situation.
Take it out when everything's built.
Well, if we've already approved it, it's not part of the things that are up for decision. Okay, that's already been decided. Okay, so the issues tonight are whether or not we remove the stop work order, is that correct? And whether or not we want to accept this as a concept with information to move forward on a Division 3 hearing process.
She is in for concept for that. That's
right.
Her concept hearing for that.
And then the other issue was the release of bond money?
She currently has bonded a land disturbance out there, in addition to the road that she's got in. Now, what she's got on this road, we will give her that reduction in that, and when that road's finished, we'll cut the rest of that road. That meets all the criteria. The other land disturbance permit that's here is there for the ground that's been disturbed. Now, if you're not doing any more work like that, if the land has been stabilized, it's got enough growth in it, there's not going to be runoff or anything like that, then they're not going to be doing any work, and they've basically suspended that part of the project or whatever that entails, they can request their land disturbance bond back. What that means is when we return that to them, then no more land disturbance can go forward until a new sediment erosion control plan is in place and we know what land is going to be disturbed and where. So in the event that would happen, if she decided to go out here and begin to grade and stuff like that, she would need another land disturbance permit and another bond in place for that. So basically what could happen out here is this. If we release the land disturbance bond, they can come out and build houses as long as they don't disturb more than an acre of ground. Or as a developer, she came out collectively and worked on several lots and disturbed more than an acre of ground, then it would require a land disturbance permit. So basically, in essence, if this is all stabilized, where as per the sediment erosion control plan, and the stop work order is not in place, or if you would see, or direct me to release that, then I would go out and check the place, make sure that everything's stabilized, and then release to her, those funds and everything. We wouldn't allow any more disturbance of land or anything until something else happened. So if there was any construction or anything going on, again, we'd be back there saying, you need to stop because you don't have this in place. So that's, but I will not do that as long as there's a stop work order in place.
Okay.
Or unless you direct me to do it, I have to stop
it. It sounds as though much of the problem has been a communication problem again between the office and Mrs. Warner for whatever reason over a 2-year period of time. Commissioners, how do you feel about releasing, what it seems is we have so many contradictions going on here that we're asking her to get into compliance, but she can't because she's got a stop work order.
Right, and we permit the work. We permit the work to, under the stop work order, to bring you into compliance. We permit that work. We just don't let you develop new areas until you've brought the other older areas into compliance.
Okay, so if we take off the stop work order, what kind of controls do we still have that she is now going to be in compliance with the request of the code?
I'm not a non-compliant person.
I'm really not. The only thing, in other words, if we remove the stop work order and release her bond back to her,
mm-hmm.
if we go out there and see any dirt being moved or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
she's not compliant.
So you're going to check it out?
Yeah. But if she's not going to be building any more roads or anything like that, and she doesn't need that, or if she wants to get that released and then go over here and say, I'm going to work in just this area, and she gets everything bonded there, she's free to do that. I mean, the same
well,
controls.
Doesn't that make sense that's the way to move on the thing?
I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just.
I agree with it. What we're looking at today versus what we looked at 2 years ago, are there significant enough changes to warrant going through the entire review process again? And if that's one question, another one, if we do go through that process, Mrs. Warner knows that because of our scheduling this year, I think our next actual meeting with the public is in March or so?
Yes. You have one in January. If you've got sufficient information from her, you can have it.
Okay, but still she couldn't get a final until?
She'd get it in January.
Oh, she could? Okay.
This is concept.
Okay. So she would have meeting and vote.
Okay.
Now,
I guess my first question then, is there enough significant changes between initial concept?
Anytime there's increase in density, your call, because I bring this to you all the time,
uh-huh.
requires that it comes back to you. Now, sometimes you've said, handle it.
I've got a couple questions whenever he's done.
Plus, she's wanting to add another 15 acres.
Well, she would do this without, but she's going to have to go through the whole process. Then she would like to add the other 15 acres.
Correct. I want to get rid of all my delays because we need to be okay.
If you could point out to me, you don't have to point out the specific lots because I don't care about the 5 lots or 6. On that minor sub, what I want to know is where is the big lot?
The parent lot?
Yeah.
Okay, the parent lot.
On the thing we just approved.
Okay. The parent lot is this.
Well, then she has to come back through for that. Has to.
Right. That's an increase because you did the minor sub, it's an increase in density.
Yeah, there's no way to keep her from coming through.
That's what I'm saying. But also, you have this. Dan, can you go to the
point? I'm just saying, for that.
Right. Right.
She asked you no matter what because we approved it, and when we did, we changed what we approved the first time.
That's fine.
I understand you.
Well, see, when go ahead and go back to. Well, just leave there, Dan. It's okay.
When
you came to us, this was a tract of land, the way we see it right now. I know you sold some properties off in there and like that. So you come to us and say, I want to divide this tract into this minor sub.
Your representative did.
Okay. So they say, okay. Now when you go back to divide that again, we've got a minor sub in here, and we're increasing density where that minor sub is. You've seen this before many, many times.
Yeah.
So in our code book states, anytime you increase density in a platted subdivision, it has to come before this board. Now, I will tell you, too, that you have, in the past, said you can handle that, but not on this scale.
I'm about to say, that's a totally different scale.
I understand that. I'm just saying, I'm giving you your options. Not on this scale, you haven't. You haven't said handle that. But you have in other cases where there's been a minor sub and then they wanted to split some more lots off. But it's not usually been a whole project.
What about the sewer systems that were supposed to be put in with the original plans?
They're going to have to be.
We discussed that with Miss Warner, and she has sat with John Soutee. What we've got is...
She's what now?
She's sat with John Soutee, and John's given her the information she needs to talk with. We've got a couple of areas, I believe, right here, right down in here, some right in here somewhere, I can't remember, down in here. There's several areas that are going to require some kind of a treatment plant. Ms. Warner sat with John Soutee probably about an hour, hour and a half after she left us. He discussed the procedure to go through, and I believe what has to happen there, she has to consult with an engineer and with the Department of Natural Resources.
Actually, they're already doing all the water and sewer plans. The whole thing, they are, the water and sewer plans is for the whole development. When there was the change from the 1 acre to the 2 acre minimums, we adjusted by going any 2 acre track and above can do private water and sewer, which are the ones that are available to final so that we can close on them. DNR is working through all that process right now.
See, I think that's where we got off on the wrong track. We approved a set of plans that had the lots all laid out and the sewer system all.
And it indicated two treatment plants, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you made changes in that drawing that we never did see and never did present here. Mm-hmm. Once we approved the original drawing, if you were going to change it, then our code requires you to come back in here with those changes for us to look at. Yeah, but.
And the changes that we did to comply with the new 2 acre change, we didn't really change them. We combined the lots, the two together. We made it
see,
that so
should
that
come back through here when you was going to
okay.
do that. Now, does this meets sewer requirements?
She's there's several things that have to happen, Ray. She's got to get her sewer plans engineered. DNR is going to set some basic requirements up. And if I'm out of line here, Ms. Warner, correct me. There's some new anti-degradation laws, so they're going to require some studies there and everything. So she's got to get all this information together and then give it to DNR. Then DNR will evaluate and everything and then give her an approval on that. And then once she has some kind of approval or something like that, then she goes back before the sewer board. Sewer board will approve the project or whatever the case might be. And then basically in this situation, they're just kind of an overseer to make sure that the testing has been done and that kind of thing like that. But DNR will actually be the one to approve her her treatment plan and everything like that. What normally happens in this situation, she'll get her approval. She's not able to plat those areas where, unless she bonds, the infrastructure, she's not able to plat those areas with the lots that are going to require the sewer and everything, because if we plat them, then of course she can sell them and then we're selling them without infrastructure. So she can either, get that all ready and then prepare it all and have it all in and get it approved and then make the plat, or she can come in and say, okay, here's what this is all going to cost, and then she can bond that infrastructure, and then we would let her plat it and begin to sell.
Which is what we're planning to do.
So, but, that can be tremendously expensive when you start talking treatment plants and collection systems and everything like that, but I don't know what they're going to engineer for her. And DNR cannot approve until they say, here's the soil, here's what's going on. But we, as you know, we have approved, preliminarily plans with treatment plants and everything like that.
Yeah.
So she's not asking for anything out of line here, I guess what I'm saying.
And DNR has already done all the field work out there. They've done, and David Holtz, we're just waiting on the reports. One came back fine.
Well, my only concerns are this, that whatever has already been sold and recorded, that when it's all said and done, it fits into whatever we're looking at here. That has to fit. There has to be a road. It has to meet all of our current requirements. And there's no way to do that without going through the whole process. There's no way to do that.
I will tell you this, even with the renewal. Of course, our renewals always say, if there's been any changes in our code book or anything like that, you're now responsible for that. due to this high-density area, I believe your road standards require, and I could be off base here, but they require, is it minimum chip and seal on that?
Minimum chip seal, yes.
Okay. And now you may need to see some stormwater management plans or something like that.
We like to look at stormwater on any projects that go through right now.
We have all those.
And if that's the case, which I believe it is, that we have to go back through that, then there shouldn't be any work done on anything except what's been approved until this is now approved, if it is. And we've approved a minor subdivision.
Right.
I mean, everything else, therefore, she also doesn't need to be bonded for anything except the minor subdivision, because that's all that's approved, unless you need to pull bonds on stuff that's been done to repair stuff.
I'll just need to verify.
Hold back. You see what I'm saying?
I mean,
that's the way I see it.
That the ground is stable.
Yes.
And if it is,
then I would think you would release that, except for whatever you say needs to be required for what has been approved, which is just the minor subdivision. I believe that everything else has to come back through, because we have to. The goal here is to get it cleaned up so you can sell, so the people you've already sold to can build. That's what we all want to happen. But it has to happen properly, and I don't think we can do that if we don't see it again. And so I think we have to see it all again, but that right now, all that she legally can build on and sell, I know there's some other stuff out there that's already sold, is the minor subdivision. Everything else we still have to look at, and the minor sub wouldn't be included.
And she is bonded separately for the minor sub.
And that's all that, you know, if you determine that everything else is stable, then everything else would go back, but she can't do any work on the rest of it because it's not been approved for anything at this point.
So the stop work order is then a moot point?
Well, I mean, it would be... yeah, I think. I mean, it would be, you would release the stop work order, but she wouldn't be able to do any work because it's not approved for anything.
She shouldn't do any work until she gets...
That's right. She should not do any work because it hasn't been approved for anything. And hopefully we could use this as a concept and get through as quickly as possible if it's approved.
By the end of January.
The problem is, you know, if it's not for some reason, then we'll worry about that when we get there. But, I mean, it's no guarantee.
Okay, do you want a motion?
I would love a motion.
Okay.
And a vote.
Anybody want to make a motion to basically release...
I will.
Conditional release of the land grading bond.
Bond and removal of the stop work order.
Keep typing. That's good so far. And removal of the stop work order. But the only work and the only bond that's required... is for the minor subdivision that was approved, and you can give the
and she's over halfway
the approval number. Everything else on the project will have to come back through to this board, and I would also say that we use this as concept to help speed up the process as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you'll see our public hearing in January. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is there a second?
What about the selling of lots for the...
Well, that has to cease. There's no...
I think we're in agreement now. She knows if she doesn't have a plat, she's not going to sell any lots.
Okay.
We sell any lots during this time.
That shouldn't be.
I'm going to let you get that answer from her. But
the minor sub that was approved with the four lot or the five lots, those have already been sold.
Right.
And those are the only ones.
And they're done.
And so you could sell that big one, if you the parent lot, if you wanted.
Right, she could sell the whole... Well,
if she could.
Well, there's other parts in it.
Right.
But I hear this, you are of the understanding, and until there's another plat file, you don't have any land for sale.
I have no problem.
Got it. Did I have a second?
To get another plat.
Did anybody second the motion?
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Staples seconded the motion. Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Got it.
So I will come out tomorrow at the project.
Okay. Is there anything else for the good of the order? Any other old business or medium old business?
No, ma'am, I'm sorry. There
is nothing. Then Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody. And the next time we meet is 2010. Okay.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Hey, enjoy Florida.
Yeah.
Let the record show that
I'll be cursing on
it. We'll think of you.
And I'll think of you all having all this worked out by the time I get back.